Stand in honor of the Word of God as we read our text of consideration today about a secure position found in 1 John chapter 2. We'll be reading three verses beginning with verse 12. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, the Word of God reads as follows, "I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we stand in awe of the revelation of who You are. And we just get a minute glimpse of Your glorious reality. Yes, You're omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent and holy. You're transcendent and yet You're immanent. And You're in the atmosphere, in the air, in the space, inside us and around us. And You dwell the hearts of the born-again ones. And You are so intertwined with the fibers of their being, it's indistinguishable as far as we're concerned. We just recognize that You remain infinite and we are finite as we express our dependence upon You. In these moments, we pray that You take Your Word and Your Spirit and draw us to Yourself, break us, mold us, change us, deliver us, free us, and God, we will give You the glory. And we do pray that You forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus in Him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said. Have you ever been misunderstood? Taken out of context? Had your position misrepresented to someone else? Did you, in the words of Cool Hand Luke, or at least the sheriff of Cool Hand Luke, what we have here is a failure to communicate? Awful, isn't it? I mean, it could be a problem that's particular to a teacher or preacher, but I don't know of anybody that really enjoys it. I remember at my last church, I took a Sunday night, and I was trying to teach the church about the gap theory. I got a clue that they didn't have a clue of what I was talking about by virtue of the fact they were looking at me like a raccoon in the beam of a flashlight. I can remember that. It was an awful feeling. I couldn't wait till the next Sunday night to get another shot at it. But what is of particular concern to a teacher or a preacher is when his message is not received for the purpose in which it was intended. I've actually seen preachers stand where I am standing and nail the ones who are present over the ones who are not. It's like preaching to the choir, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to get on you who are here about those who aren't. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It has never ceased to amaze me that sermons I preach on commitment cause people who are the most committed to come to the altar. Through all the years of my preaching, folks tell me that I can really plow, if you beg the pardon, close to the cob. And they say, "Man, you hit me between the eyes. You must be a spider on my wall. Have you been following me around all week? How could you reach into my soul that way?" And I always tell them, you know, everybody tells me that. But when you have a purpose for a message you're preaching, and it doesn't fulfill that intended purpose, let me tell you, it's disheartening. Now, this is what the Apostle John is dealing with. He has written a letter to believers, to you. He's wanting to teach these believers. He's wanting to provide tests, not to cause you as believers to doubt your salvation, but tests so that you and I can know who truly belongs to the Lord. I mean, he certainly doesn't want you to doubt your salvation because arguably a lot of the epistle is written for that express purpose, that you might gain assurance of your salvation. So he has provided tests. And he's going to provide more tests, but he pauses in these selection of verses I read to you today to address this issue of assurance. I don't expect you to remember from which we've come. But we have traveled a bit. That first test was fellowship. Jesus came. And those who were with Him when He came told us about it so that we could hang out with the Lord and His people. That's the test of fellowship. We learned that how you deal with your sin determines whether or not you are walking in the light. We discovered that you know that you know that you know Him, not by how much you know about Him or how you feel Him, but what you do with His Word. And then last week we talked about, or the last time we preached, the evidence that Jesus lives in you is that He continues to love in and through you. These are tests so that you and I can know who truly belong to the Lord, not to cause those who do to doubt that they do. But we do doubt, don't we? I have preached long enough to know that if you are an expositor of the Word of God, systematically teaching the Word of God, it can even cause believers to doubt their salvation, and sometimes seasoned veterans in the faith. It's rather understandable, isn't it? Can we talk? Sometimes we want to hang out with God and His people, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we deal appropriately with our sins, and sometimes we really blow it. Sometimes we are obedient to the Lord, and sometimes we couldn't care less. Sometimes we love others, and sometimes we're just downright mean. No one can listen to these tests of authenticity without some sense of ambivalence. Well, the question then becomes then, if the faithful teaching of the Word of God, if the fulfillment of what I do for a living and you as a Sunday school teacher and a Bible teacher do for a living, what do we need to know in order that we can hear the clear, unadulterated Word of God and deal with the doubts we have when we listen to its teaching? Well, the Apostle John says the method is to remind you of your position. He stops after giving some tests before he's going to give some more tests of authenticity, and he wants to articulate and remind you of your secure position in Jesus Christ. But what about our position in Jesus Christ do we need to know in order to feel secure while we're listening to the exposition of the Word of God? Well, according to John, it depends on what stage you're in your spiritual pilgrimage. You see, the Apostle John identifies three groups of church members. He refers to them as children and fathers and young men. And he gives two affirmations to each. I can remember for years when I was doing memory work in this book and I looked at these verses, I thought that he was categorizing these people according to physical ages, but a closer look to the content of the message he spoke to each of these three groups revealed to me that he was talking about stages in spiritual development. See, God's family, like your family, find themselves in different stages of spiritual development. So, appropriate to your stage of spiritual development, there are certain contingencies, certain facts that you need to know or that you need to remember so you can be secure in your salvation and your position in Jesus Christ. Shall we look at them? For those of you who are young in the Lord, you hadn't been around this long. This stuff is new. You're like babes in Christ. When the teaching of Scripture causes you to doubt your salvation, you need to remember the basis of your relationship to God. Now notice how he puts this in 12a. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. Hallelujah. Look in the last sentence of verse 13. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. You know, Steve Brown just could be right. That we need to lock new converts up for at least a year before they do any more damage than they already do. I mean, in their ungrounded zeal, oftentimes they do more damage than good. You see, they become very judgmental and opinionated when, quite frankly, they haven't lived long enough or sinned enough to have much of opinion on anything. And one of the dangers of a new convert is he's very idealistic. He has huge dreams, big aspirations, and then one day he miserably fails and he's devastated and he begins to doubt the very Lord that saved his life. Now some of you who are new in the faith, and even some of you who are older, know that you constantly struggle with whether or not you're authentically saved. What do I need to do? Well, you need to remember the basis of your relationship to God. And it is very clear in 12a. And it is this. Are you listening? You are eternally forgiven for one reason and one reason only. On the count of His name, through the blood of Jesus, you are forever forgiven. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. It is not what you are and not. It's not what you say and don't say. It's not what you do and don't do. You are eternally forgiven because of the blood of Jesus and nothing else, period. And the result of that forgiveness is an eternal relationship with God. 13c, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father and you will continue to know Him because you have been eternally forgiven. That establishes an eternal relationship with the Father because of Jesus Christ alone. Now, let me tell you what you're going to have to stop doing as a new convert. Because you're beating yourself up with this and you've got to stop it. You've got to stop placing yourself under the judgment and condemnation of the law every time you fail. You're no longer under that reign or that realm. Listen, when the United States liberated Paris from the tyranny of Hitler's reign, then those folks were no longer under the reign or the realm of Nazi bondage. They were under the reign and the realm of American liberation. You are no longer under the law in the sense of judgment and condemnation. You are under the reign of grace. You're no longer under the reign of condemnation. You're under the reign of justification. You're no longer under the reign of sin and death. You're under the reign of righteousness and eternal life. You're no longer under the reign of impending hell. You're under the reign of a glorious heaven. You're no longer under the reign of Satan. You're under the reign of Jesus Christ. You are never ever to view your relationship with God again as a judge who condemns you, but a Father who loves you. And if you're young in the Lord, and the teaching of Scripture causes you to doubt, remember the basis of your relationship with God. Now, for those of you who are seasoned in the Lord, seasoned veterans in the faith, when the teaching of Scripture rattles your cage, then you need to remember the one whom you have believed. Verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. 14a, I write to you, fathers, saying it again, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Did any of y'all see Ken Burns' 18 and a half hour documentary of the history of baseball? It only takes you a year to see it. I watched it, little snippets, till I got through the whole thing. It is a masterpiece of history. It parallels with American history. And he's the guy that got the award for doing the one on the Civil War. It's incredible. And he went over substantially a lot of great baseball players who have long died. One he spent a lot of time on was the baseball great Brooklyn Dodger, Jackie Robinson. First black man in baseball. What a tremendous talent. What an awesome ball player. And it was absolutely horrendous what he went through by way of persecution and racism as the first black ball player in professional baseball. It was amazing to listen to the baseball historian cite facts and speculate to what kind of toll and agony this brutal behavior towards him had upon him. How did it affect him? What did it do with him? And their stats were amazing. Their speculations were wonderful and all the rest. But I've got to tell you something. It was inadequate. Profoundly inadequate. You know why? Because their assessment was academic and not experiential. They didn't know Jackie Robinson. They had not spent time with him. They didn't know the real toll of that persecution on his life. But one advantage that the Ken Burns series had on Jackie Robinson that he didn't have on a lot of the other dead ball players is a surviving wife. And they interviewed his wife. And she told what toll that persecution had on her husband. She didn't have to cite facts or speculate. She really knew what he went through because she really knew Jackie. Did you know academically, and because of my years of formal training, I might know more about God than some of my fathers, but I don't know God like they do. Because there's only one way you can really know the Lord. And that is spending time with Him, going through experiences with Him, checking out His faithfulness, learning about Him. And many of my fathers have forgotten more about Jesus than sometimes I think I will ever know. It's kind of like cooking ribs. You can fast cook them, but they're not going to turn out right unless you slow cook them. And there have been some of you cooking in the Lord for many years, and your expertise is daunting. And when you go through the challenges we all inevitably go through, you have these experiences to draw from the vast reservoir of God's faithfulness because you know, every time you thought He wasn't going to come through, He proved every time without exception to be faithful. Hallelujah. So, if you're a seasoned veteran and the teaching of Scripture causes you to doubt, remember the one whom you have believed. And then finally, if you're here and you're maturing in your faith, and the teaching of Scripture causes you to doubt, remember you are an overcomer. Let 13b, I write to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. Last phrase in verse 14, I write to you young men because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. You are developing in your faith. You are maturing in your faith and you're getting stronger in the power of God and the Word of God. And that is the key to your victory over satanic attack. Greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. But never ever forget, the way that you overcome is by virtue of being in the overcomer. You know, you reckon, is there any truth, that old adage, that if you didn't meet Jesus on your way to wherever you were going this morning, it might be because you were walking in the same direction? You can't stand up for anything right and not get opposed. You can't live for God and tiptoe through the tulips. If you're going to take a stand, not everybody's going to like you. What you got to remember is that Jesus is quite fond of you, and He'll make sure there's a few ragamuffins around you that think highly of you as well. Did you see the movie The Bear? Well, I imagine with a group this spiritual, you didn't. I did. It was an interesting movie because it hardly had any dialogue in it whatsoever. It was literally about a bear. The movie starts with a mother bear trying to get some honey for her cub when something akin to an avalanche hit her and it kills her. And so the cub's stuck there and hangs around mama for a while and then finally decides to go off on its own. Takes up with some big bear. I don't know if it's a male or female. Huge bear. But the bear didn't want it at first, but finally accepted it. And so the venture's off. Some point in the movie, the cub gets off from, let's just say, Papa Bear. All by itself. And while it's out there in its vulnerable realm, suddenly a mountain lion comes. And the mountain lion's hungry. Got the fangs and the saliva ready to eat. So he tears out after the cub. And you know, a cub can scoot. He's rocking. He's going. But the mountain lion's catching up. And you're watching the drama. Your heart begins to beat. Then all of a sudden, the cub, I don't know if it's a mistake or not, he runs across a log that's a self-imposed bridge across the creek, and he gets halfway across that log, and to the stunning reality of all of us who are watching it, he decides, you know what, I ain't going to run anymore. I've had it with this mountain lion. He stops, turns around, faces the mountain lion, stands up on 2 feet, shakes his paws like this, and goes, ah! You ever feel like that? Well, you know, you're just laughing. That's going to be the last growl that cub has before this mountain lion says amen to lunch. But a shocking thing happens. The camera pans back to the mountain lion. The mountain lion cowers, turns around, and runs the opposite way. You're sitting there shocked. There's no way. This doesn't happen. Then the camera pans back around, stops a moment on the cub, and pans a little further to the other side of the bridge on the bank on the other side of the creek, and there's Papa Bear. Ah! You can face Satan. The Bible says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan doesn't want any of you standing in your recognized position in Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he who's in the world. Wake up to who you are. and go to war with Satan. So week after week, when you listen to my teaching or others, you begin doubting your faith. If you're young in the Lord, don't forget the basis of your relationship to God. If you're a seasoned veteran, you remember the one whom you've believed. And if you're growing because you're young in the Lord and developing and maturing, trust me, you are an overcomer in Jesus Christ because you're in the overcomer. And you'd be amazed at how you can receive the teaching of Scriptures and the doubts will just dissipate. And then you can truly learn what it is God wants you to know. Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the conciseness of the biblical record, how relevant it is to everything we're going through. We want to walk with you in power, and we want to receive your word in an encouraging way that motivates us into action, not paralyzes us in fear. So, Father, help us be hungry for the Word and enjoy its rich nourishment so we can live those lives you destined us to live. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Just so you'll know, many have asked about joining the church. This is the time you do it. You just come down to the front and greet me here. If you have a special need, I'll pray for you. I've turned off this mic. Nobody will hear us. If there's anything I can do for you whatsoever, we're going to take a few moments. I'll be right down here. May God have His way among us.